First scripture listing is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The word of the Lord.
She looked about as frustrated as I felt. For 3 weeks, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, she had been trying to teach me how to speak Tagalog. Now, for those of you who don't know what Tagalog is, it is one of the many languages spoken in the Philippines. And I had gone there to fulfill a lifelong dream of being a Peace Corps volunteer. And I was excited about going over there and making a difference with the skills that I had. But it never occurred to me I would have to learn this language that had no connection at all to any language I had studied. I had hopefully learned a little English. I had learned some Spanish and German, but Tagalog, it was just a foreign language. And she tried, and she tried, and she tried, and somehow phrases like lakad ako sa tindahan, meaning let's go to the store, just were not tripping off of my tongue. But the gift I was given in that language teacher is she refused to give up. She believed in me, and I'm glad she did, because to stay and be a volunteer, you had to pass the language exam. You had to demonstrate that you had a functional knowledge of this language, or else you would go home. But she stuck with it, and for another 3 weeks, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, she got me past the language exam. How many of you have ever had a teacher like that? A teacher who believed in you so much that even when maybe you didn't believe in yourself, that teacher was going to keep after you and teach you what you really needed to know. Well, if you've ever had a teacher like that, then you can understand the Apostle Paul. Paul was the writer of those words we read a few minutes ago about love. Now, many people sort of have mixed feelings about the Apostle Paul because they don't like some of the things that he said or implied in his letters and in his work. But the one thing about Paul was that he was bound and determined that he was going to teach the people in Corinth a new language. And that language was the love of God in Jesus Christ. That was the language he desperately desired to teach them. Now, it wasn't the language that they spoke. It wasn't the language that they knew, because the language that they knew was the language of empire. They were Romans. The language of empire was domination, victory, win at all cost, crush your opponent. It was looking down on the lower classes. That was the language they knew, and they knew it really well. But they had signed up to be Jesus people. They had decided that they wanted to follow this Jesus person, and if they were going to keep following this Jesus person, then what they needed to learn was the language of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And that's what this 13th chapter really is all about. Now, how many of you had this read at your wedding if you're married? Right, yeah, okay, you know, it's one of those wedding things. But really, it's a language lesson. And what I want to do is I want to just pull out three sort of lessons out of what he's trying to teach them. Because I really think maybe we need to keep learning this language as well. So lesson one, Paul writes, love is patient, love is kind. My wife and I, on our 5-year anniversaries, whether it's a 0 or a 5, we save up and we try and go do a cruise. And for our 30th anniversary, we were on a cruise, and I got up early and went to breakfast. And as I'm in line looking at sort of it was kind of a buffet, but there were people serving you, that the very first station was a mountain of bacon. Okay, I love bacon. And I just thought, this is good. And so the line is moving along, and people are getting their breakfast, and this woman in front of me points at this sort of glass covering and says, I want that piece of bacon. Well, the very nice young man behind the glass screen takes his tongs and sort of reaches for a piece. She goes, not that piece, that piece. And so he moved his tongs some more and started to grab a piece. She goes, no, that's not the piece I want. I want that piece. And you can just see him getting flustered. It's like there's this mountain of bacon. How do you pick out one piece out of this mountain? And so finally he just grabs a whole handful of bacon and puts it on her plate. And she goes, I need to talk to your supervisor. You obviously don't know what you're doing. I call her Bacon Lady. The Corinthians would have really appreciated Bacon Lady, because the Corinthians were incredibly intolerant of anyone who didn't rise to their expectations. They were impatient with anyone who didn't quite get the social norms that they were supposed to be living by. And they would criticize them, they would demean them, they would push them aside. And we know this because there's not just this first letter of Corinthians, there's actually a second letter. And in this other letter, what you hear is Paul sort of talking to them about the way they've treated him. And basically, they have said, listen, Paul, you don't dress right. You don't look right. You're not a great orator like this guy Apollos. And you're Jewish. We don't need to listen to you. There are better people to listen to. And it's to that then that Paul says that's the language of empire. The language of empire is this intolerance of imperfection. And Paul says, no, listen, the language of the love of God in Jesus Christ is to be patient and kind. And he explains elsewhere that the reason that being patient and kind is the language of love is that that's the way God operates in the world. When God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and they're in the desert, and they're going, Moses, you know, listen, this is tough. We want to go back. We really don't want to follow God. Just cancel this whole Exodus thing. God doesn't give up on them. God is patient and kind, and God feeds them and clothes them and cares for them and brings them into, as the writer says, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the way Jesus treated Peter. When Peter denies him 3 times when he's been arrested, you'd think Jesus would just say, enough with you. But instead, Jesus treats Peter with patience and kindness. This is the law, this is the language that God speaks. Can you imagine what a world would be like if instead of everyone speaking the language of intolerance and impatience, we all spoke the language of patience, kindness? The second lesson Paul offers is that love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. How many of you receive Christmas letters? Any of you? Yeah. All right. So, for whatever reason, I'm never sure why I remember some things and not others. Important things I forget. But I still remember the first time our family got a Christmas letter. I was still at home, and it was from one of my dad's Marine Corps buddies from Korea. And my dad was very excited. It was, oh, look, I got a Christmas card from my friend. And so he opens it up, and there is this long letter. And my dad and mom are reading, they just kind of chuckle and set it down. And I thought, what is that? And so I pick it up and I read it. And this guy had the audacity to talk about how amazing his life was, how great his kids were. You would have thought they had all won the Nobel Prize, that his life was the best life anyone could have. And I have to say, I got a little jealous. And then I got boastful and arrogant and saying, my brothers are better than your kids. My family's better than your family. How dare you tell us how good your family is when I know mine's better? Any of you ever do that with a Christmas letter? It's a funny thing. Jealousy and boasting or arrogance are two sides to the same coin. We boast because we're jealous of someone else, because we think we have to prove that we're better than they are. And that's what the Corinthians did all the time. And one of the places where they did it was in this thing dealing with what's called spiritual gifts. And this is something that a lot of us aren't overly familiar with, but that's actually the context of this piece. Spiritual gifts are those abilities that people are given whereby they can help make the church, the community of Jesus, the family of God, the place it's supposed to be. They're gifts like compassion and prayer and love and healing and preaching and teaching and singing. It's all of these gifts. And Paul had told them that everybody gets at least one gift. If you're a Jesus follower, you have at least one of these gifts. Some people maybe 2, maybe 3, but no one has them all. So you would think that people would go around going, oh, what's your gift? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that cool? Yeah, no. That is not the way it worked in the church at Corinth. They were essentially, what? You have that gift? You can speak in tongues? Wait, no, mine's better though. My gift is better than your gift. And they literally were running around being arrogant and boastful and jealous of each other, and it was ripping the church apart. And so Paul says, folks, love isn't jealous or boastful or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not irritated by what others have. That in fact, if Paul had flipped this to the positive, I think what he was trying to tell them was gifts are to be celebrated. That what people have been given, their abilities, their gifts, these are to be celebrated and enjoyed. That you are supposed to go up to the others and say, wow, look at this amazing gift you have. It's really making a difference. Because this is what Paul says gifts are given by God for. This is the way God gives to the world. And God gives hoping that we will use them together to make this place the kind of place that people want to be, that Christ wants it to become. The last piece, the last lesson. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, meaning in not speaking the truth, but rejoices instead in the truth. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here. How many of you remember that there was an election a couple of weeks ago? Any of you remember there was? How many of you were forced to endure hours of political ads? How many of you were forced to endure political ads that you knew were lies? It really made me wonder if anyone out there running for office could actually just speak the truth and just say, here's what I believe in. Vote for me because this is who I am and what I believe. But instead, and by the way, this is nothing new. It seemed as if everyone had to make a concerted effort for a burned earth strategy. Let me tell you how utterly awful and horrible my opponent actually is, even to the point of absolutely lying about them or about what they have done or about what they believe. This, by the way, is the language of empire. It is win at all costs. Truth doesn't matter. Say anything, do anything. Winning is everything. Scorched earth. And this, by the way, was how the Corinthians lived. Winning for them was everything. That was their language of empire. Rome would do anything for victory. It didn't matter how horrible or awful it was. And what was going on within the life of the church in Corinth, well, let me just set the scene here. The church in Corinth is probably no more than 40 or 50 people. Maybe fewer than are on this side of the sanctuary. That's how big the church at Corinth was, because they could all fit in somebody's house. They spent an incredible amount of time suing each other. Don't just think that people only recently started suing each other. The Corinthians, this small group of people who were supposed to be Jesus followers, who believed in each other, they took each other to court. They sued each other to win, because winning was everything. And Paul says, love doesn't do that. Love is about discovering the truth. In fact, Paul goes on to say about all those lawsuits, he said, you should rather just lose and not go to court than go to court and try and beat down your brother or sister. Because that's the language of love. The language of love is speaking what the truth is. The underlying truth of what God wants for the community. And this is at the heart of the entire Bible, is that what God desires is justice and truth, not winning. I mean, think about Christ. Christ didn't come into Jerusalem and say, I'm here to beat you down and win. Christ came and went to the cross. This is what the language of love says. You and I, all of us, we live in a world of the language of empire, of impatience and intolerance, of win at all costs, of looking down at others who don't meet our expectations. It's all around us. And that's why it's always a challenge to speak the language of the love of God in Christ. And so if practice makes perfect, our challenge is to practice. Just like I had to go 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, to learn, to practice. That's what we are called to do. We are called every day to practice speaking the love of God in Jesus Christ to everyone that we meet. Regardless of what they say or do to us, we are to be patient and kind. We are not to be jealous or boastful or arrogant or rude. We are not to rejoice in the wrong, but in the truth. And so that's my challenge to you for this week. It is to ask yourself this question: how am I speaking the language of the love of God in Jesus Christ to everyone I meet, in every place that I meet them? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you such thanks that you are patient with us, that you are kind to us, that you do not give up on us, but that you continue to call us to speak this language of love that we have heard from the moment we were born and baptized until the moment that we breathe our last. Help us to speak that language to all we meet. In Christ's name, amen.